join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Opportunities and Opportunists by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Based upon this one verse, or the thought, the theme comes from this one verse of 1 Corinthians 16:9. And Paul writes to the church of Corinth and he says, "For a great door effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." There's a great door. There's a great opportunity for me to share the gospel, for me to increase my influence, for me to do greater things, and, or another translation would say, but there are many adversaries. That verse from the Amplified says, "For a wide door of opportunity for effectual service has opened to me." That's exciting. There, a great and promising one, and there are many adversaries. And then finally, the New Living Translation says, "There's a wide open door for great work here, although many oppose me." Isn't it something that God can give you a great opportunity, set it up, and then you think everybody be happy for you? God can open up a door for you, and you walk through that door, and then when you walk through that door, there's some opposition, there's obstacles that you didn't anticipate. And Paul says there's a great door, there's an opportunity, but with this opportunity, there's also opponents. People don't like it. People may try to stop me. And so I want to speak today from the subject opportunities and opportunists. Opportunities and opportunists. I believe that 2021 is going to present for many of us many new and great opportunities, and we're excited about that. I believe that there's even as we saw in 2020, in the midst of the pandemic, it was also a time for great opportunities. It was a time for people to do things that they didn't know that they could do and do them in a way that they didn't know that they could do it. It was a time for great opportunities. I mean, we're wearing these masks today. A particular designer that my wife wears, I gave her some of those designer masks for Christmas. You know how much those masks cost? $50. Who thought you'd be paying $50 for a mask? Some of y'all say, "I still ain't paying no $50 for a mask. Not as long as I can wear these little disposable ones here for a dollar." Okay? But somebody saw an opportunity. Then somebody said, "Well, we're not just going to have a mask. We're going to bling out the mask." Now they got blend-in masks. Now they're using comedy masks. Somebody saw an opportunity. And then on the other hand, there's people who will try to capitalize and take advantage of opportunities in a negative way. Not just an opportunity there, they will be an opportunist. An opportunist try to take advantage of people in the midst of an opportunity. Look for an opportunity to take advantage of people. But an opportunity is a set of circumstances that make it possible for something to be done or something to be accomplished. We all look for opportunities, a set of circumstances that make it possible to do something or to accomplish something. An opportunity is a favorable juncture or arrangement of circumstances. An opportunity is a good chance for advancement. This is an opportunity for me to do this. Here's an opportunity for me to go here. Here's an opportunity for me to have this. An opportunity for advancement. And I declare and agree with you that in 2021, you will have unusual, God-ordained, favorable opportunities. I declare there will be opportunity for increase. I declare that there will be opportunity for promotion. I declare there will be opportunity for enlargement of territory. I declare there'll be opportunity for new deals and new joint ventures and partnerships and territory enlargements. That's what Jabez prayed. He said, Lord, enlarge my territory. Some people think that's a selfish prayer. Call it what you want. It's in the Bible. He said, Lord, enlarge my territory. I want more. I want greater influence. I want to expand. I want to be blessed enough for people to see that I'm blessed. I want the kind of blessing that you spoke about, that you would give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all the sons of the Most High God. So we declare and we agree with you for supernatural, God-ordained opportunities. And it's the favor of God that sets up opportunities for us. God will supernaturally arrange things on your behalf. When, as we were moving forward to build and getting ready to build this new project. And I was starting to think, well, suppose this doesn't happen, this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen. And I started thinking of all the things I can do. And I was up praying about it early one morning. And the Lord said to me, just wait on the favor. The Lord said, chill out. The Lord said, as it were, Hakuna Matata. It means no worry. Chill out. Just wait on the favor. No, what God said, watch me supernaturally arrange things. Watch this. Just expect me, watch me, and believe me to supernaturally arrange things on your behalf. Put you in rooms that you otherwise could not be in. Have you talk to people you otherwise would not be able to talk to. Hear from people you would never know who even know your name. It is the favor of God that does those. It's the favor of God that arranges those things for us. Ecclesiastes 9:11, it says this. It says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not given to the swift, nor is the battle given to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. You know, and some people look at this scripture and think it's just talking about luck. No, it's non-belief. It's saying God will arrange times and chances on your behalf. And notice it says time and chance happen to all. I remember several years ago, one of our women's conference when I had the option, you know, they used to let me, they humor me and let me speak sometime for the women's conference. But one of those messages I preached was called, It's Your Time to Take Your Chance. It's your time, so take your chance. Time and chance happen to them all. You know, God says everyone will have some God-ordained opportunities. But you got to be careful because you can miss your opportunity. You've heard Pastor Marshall share years ago, and we often wonder, God bless us, but you always wonder where that would have gone if I'd taken advantage of this opportunity. She had reached out to a particular woman of God many, 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 many years ago. And she wrote a letter, and I guess maybe she thought she was just venting, you know, like some of y'all write me think I'll never get the letter, okay? And not only did she get the letter, she had an offer to call her back, and said that she would meet with her. And Pastor Marston, at the time, we were very young in ministry, and I said, oh, I can't meet with her. I want to her to ask me, and she didn't follow up on it. It was an opportunity. And sometimes we can have opportunities and miss the opportunity because of fear, because of insecurity, because of whatever. So you need to be conscious of God-ordained opportunities. In order to maximize opportunities, several things you got to do. One of the things you got to do if you want to maximize opportunities, you need to be able to find treasures in trash. You need to be able to find treasure in trash. There are things, you know, I had a motorcycle a few years ago, my first motorcycle. And the reason why I started even riding motorcycle, I have an uncle who lives here in the Columbia, South Carolina area. And as he got older, it was nostalgic for me. That motorcycle, I remember when he first got that motorcycle. It was his first and only motorcycle, as far as I remember. It was a Honda Goldwing. For those of you who know anything about motorcycles, that's like the Cadillac of motorcycles, a Honda Goldwing. And he would drive that motorcycle to Maine. He drove that motorcycle when we lived in Oklahoma, from New Jersey to Oklahoma. Then he would go to California. He would come back through, and he drove that. And after he moved here, he got old. He said, you know, I'm getting old, and I don't have the arm strength I used to have. I said, I'll buy a motorcycle from you. I had never even rode a motorcycle. So I learned how to ride a motorcycle on the Honda Goldwing. Well, I kept it, I don't know, 10-plus years. The motorcycle, I believe, was a... Oh man, I'm losing track of time now, but it may have been like a 1980 motorcycle or something like that, but it was still in good condition. And so now it was leaking oil. I didn't know what to do with the thing, and it was sitting in my garage, and I was having a garage sale, just getting rid of stuff. And the guy comes by and he said, what's that? He said, oh, I said, I just got to get rid of this thing. He said, well, how much you want for it? I said, I don't know. $500. He said, yes, sir. And he gave me the $500 and took that motorcycle. I later told my uncle, he said, you know, you could have got a whole lot more for that motorcycle. Somebody else saw the value in what was aggravating me. Somebody saw the value in what I was unwilling to fix. Y'all ain't hearing me here. You know, Some of y'all, you want to get rid of your husband, get rid of your wife, and there's another man or woman say, I can do something with that right there. What you're willing to throw away, somebody else is willing to fix. What you're willing to throw away, somebody else is willing to improve. What you're willing to throw away, somebody else is willing to deal with and manage and work through and help. Sometimes you have to learn how to maximize opportunity because you got to find treasure in trash. Y'all, we have some people in our church, and they post things on social media, and they may show this table and how beautiful it looks now, but then they show you, I found this. This is what it looked like, and you're amazed that what used to look like this can now look like that. But the difference was they saw what they could do with it. If you're going to maximize opportunity, you have to see what you can do and create out of something that is not in that form yet. Yeah. To maximize opportunity, you have to find value in what others vacate. How many of you have, I mean, people, they're buildings that people walk away from and think you can't do anything with it, and somebody else comes and beautifies that place. You have to pick up what other people cast down. You have to appreciate what others despise. Because what you appreciate will grow in your life. And what you despise will depreciate in your life. You have to stay, watch this, where others leave. You have to stay where others leave. I'm just making this up. Suppose all the furniture stores in Columbia, and I can think of right off the top of my head at least 10 of them. Suppose all the furniture, see, you know, ain't nobody buying furniture in Columbia. We're all going to shut down. One of them decide to stay. How do you think that he'll do when things turn around? See, sometimes we despise things because you're just not willing to wait. You're not willing to wait for that thing to turn around. The old songwriters of the in a black traditional church said, I'm so glad trouble don't last always. It's not going to always be like this. Some type of way, I've always had the faith and the capacity to see beyond where I am now, which is why my wife and I, in our early days, in our early days of need and our early needs of poverty, and our early days when we first got married, of not being able to keep all the utilities on, that we sat there in the dark believing I'm going to have the money to get things turned back on. But I said, baby, it's not going to be this way always. Because you have to see beyond your current circumstances. Sometimes you've got to be willing to stay where others leave. And then you're going to find opportunities. You're going to have to be willing to go places that other people refuse to go. Paul said there's a great door. There's a great opportunity here. And yet at the same time, there are many adversaries. Because sometimes, y'all, opportunities look like work. Let me say it again. Opportunities look like work. And some people forfeit opportunities and don't see the opportunity, don't take advantage of the opportunity, because the opportunity looks like it's going to be too hard. It's going to require too much work. Look at Proverbs 13 and 11. Proverbs 13 and 11, it says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished by useless pursuits or get-rich-quick schemes. That's vanity. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. He that gathers by working, he that gathers by consistency, he that gathers by saving a little bit of something out of every paycheck, he that gathers by just putting 1% in that 401k and 2% in the IRA. And every time they get a lump sum, which I'm going to continue on Wednesday, taking some of that and doing something to advance your life, little by little shall they increase. He said you can go for those meaningless, useless, frivolous pursuits, or you can do it God's way, which is a lot of people don't want to do it God's way, which is little by little. Little by little, God tells the children of Israel, he said, now, in Exodus, he said, now, you need to understand, so I'm going to give you this promised land, but when you go into the promised land, I'm not going to give it all to you in 1 year. All this land is not going to become yours in 1 year. He said, lest ye not have increased enough and the beasts of the field overwhelm you. My wife and I, we were someplace recently, and I said, I wonder if there's any bears up here. So, you know, now you got your phone, you can Google everything. So in the town we were in, we Google. And it said black bears, regularly seen in this town. Then I went on, and one woman said, she said a bear was following her swiftly as she was taking her morning walk. Somebody else said they went to take the trash out on Wednesday, you know, take trash out the driveway and pick it down to the curb, and a bear met them at the curb. Yes, there were some bears up there. And sometimes, y'all, we're in places that seem scary, and we're in places that seem like this is going to be hard. But sometimes you got to understand, God says, now, I'm going to give it to you little by little. He said, and what's happening in that place is that they have inhabited a place that was used to be the bear's territory. And God said, I'm not going to give it to you all in 1 year, because you need to have enough of you to fight off what tries to attack you. You need to have the fortitude to know what you're dealing with to occupy this space. I did a series a couple years ago. You got to be able to breathe the air up here. And sometimes we think we're ready for stuff. We ain't ready for it. You know, I remember years ago, a particular sister in our church, and she had twins. She was the only sister member of our church who had twins. And the twins were young at that time. They were so cute. And people walk up, oh, they're so cute. I want twins. I want people, you know, young people walk up, people not married, people don't have any children. I want twins. And she would go off. You need to know what you're asking God for. You don't just, everybody don't, you don't even know what you're talking about. I said, Lord, she going through. Twins was more than it looked like. Come on now. Some of y'all have one baby, you know. One of my children, I have one child, and I said, when y'all gonna have another? They said, I don't know. One. Sometimes we don't know the work that it takes to deal with one, and you think you want 10. Are y'all listening to me? So God said, even to take advantage of opportunity, you got to be built up. You got to have what it takes to manage that level of opportunity. Sometimes opportunities look like work. Deuteronomy 28 and 12, it says, the Lord will open unto you his good treasure. He's going to give you, the heavens going to give you rain upon the land in its season. And he will bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Now, we hear a lot of things in the scripture. We see rain and good treasure, and we see our season coming in, and we see where we're going to be lender, not to borrow. But there's something else, and he said he's going to bless all the work of your hand. There's certain blessings that only come through working. I will bless the work of your hand. He didn't say your confession in this case. I'm going to bless the work of your hand. He didn't say what you bind and loose. He said, I'm going to bless the work of your hand. Your hands got to get involved in doing the work if I'm going to bless it. God said, if you would touch it, I'll get in your hands. If you'll go there, I'll get in your feet. If you would think about it, I'll get in your mind. But you got to give me something to work with. Noah and his family, we know the story. Noah and his family were saved from the flood. But first, they had to build a three-deck, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high ship painted with a particular type of paint, with an 18-inch opening just below the roof. And if you do that, you're going to live. And it had never rained. They was blessed, but it took some work. Before Moses received the commandment, he had to climb a mountain. Wow. Exodus 24 and 12, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me. Well, God, why can't you come down to me? No, I need you to come up to me. Oh, man, there's so much in that right there. Because so many of us, we want God to come down to us all the time. God said, I need you to come up to me. Wow. There's some things I need to tell you about. I'm not coming down there. I need you to come up to me. No, I'm not condescending in this situation. I need you to come up to me. Paul would speak to sometimes and say, you know, there's more I can write to you about. There's more I can say to you. You ain't ready to hear it. Jesus says to his disciples sometimes, he said, how long I got to be with you? He said, if you don't understand this parable, how you going to understand the deeper thing? Come on up. Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And he was there for 6-7 days before he heard anything. Just come up, be there, obey. Until you hear differently, the last order stand. So many people miss that. Well, God told me to do such and such, and I did it, and nothing happened. Until you hear differently, the last order stand. Suppose Moses went back on day 3, day 4, day 5. Maybe I didn't hear right. No, I heard God say, come on up. And then he says, be there. Come up in the mountain, be there. And he said, and if you come up and if you stay there, I will give thee the tables of stone. And somebody, there's somebody watching me right now, and you wonder why God has not given it to you, because you didn't come up, and you came up for a little while, but you didn't stay there. Come on up and be there, stay there, and I'll give you the tables of stone and the law and commandments which I've written, that you may teach them. Sometimes opportunities look like work. Before the water was turned to wine, Jesus' first miracle. It's a little passing point. But Mary says to them, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Jesus told them to fill the water pots. See, if you just think about this from a 21st century cosmopolitan, whatever you are, living wherever you are, turning on the faucet type of mindset, you miss it. I'm going to turn water into wine, but first you got to fill these water pots. They may have to go to a well, which may not have been in the venue where the wedding was. This wasn't just an abracadabra. Jesus said, now I'll be here waiting, but I need you to go get those water pots. And when you research the water pots each held 20 to 30 gallons of water. Can one person carry 20 to 30 gallons of water in a pot? How many people were necessary to fulfill this commandment, to fulfill what he told them to do, to fill 6 water pots? Opportunity. It's an opportunity for a miracle. It's an opportunity to be blessed. It's an opportunity to have the best wine that anyone has ever tasted, but you got to go fill those water pots. Sometimes opportunities look like work. John 2 and 7, he said, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And we think that's probably took place in 2 minutes, 5 minutes. It could have been hours. Before the widow woman was blessed to pay her debt, she was given a very specific instruction, 2 Kings 4 and 3. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. Don't just get a couple. God was getting ready to put her in the oil business because she was going to be selling oil now and all her debt was going to be eliminated. But first, she had to go borrow vessels. Excuse me, you got any pots? How many? You got any? Watch it. And how many vessels can one woman carry by herself? I'm sure she didn't have a Ford F-150 to put them in. Who knows what it took for her to get in all these vessels? But to the degree, this is so good, to the degree she was willing to obey the instructions and put the effort in to do the work, the degree to which she would be financially increased and have the oil.
2021 will present opportunities in your life, but there will also be opportunists looking to take advantage of you. In this teaching, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to maximize the opportunities presented to us, as well as how to recognize and avoid the opportunists around us. To order this series, call 877-798-5433 or order online at rightdirection.info. Just ask for opportunities and opportunists. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at @RDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.